Nadine, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So why is it, I guess, first of all, that mental health is so underfunded when it comes to global aid?
I mean, our report shows an alarming insight into the scale of mental health crisis facing a million of children affected by conflict around the world. As you said, there are more than 7 million children living in conflict zones and at serious risk of developing severe mental health. And we're talking about, you know, and this is like schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and severe post-traumatic distress. But on top of that, there's even 24 million children. That is four times the population, child population here in Australia, that requires some form of mental health support. But despite the scale of this crisis, the funding that addresses children's mental health is grossly inadequate.
Oh, I was going to say, you mentioned in there some of the conditions we can see arise, schizophrenia, bipolar. They're really, really serious disorders. What does this do to a kid living in a war zone?
I mean, if you can imagine a child living in a war zone, that child has seen the most horrific, gruesome violence that no child or any human being should ever be faced with. These children have had their homes bombarded, had their schools bombarded, have seen their families killed in front of them. Some have seen their mothers raped. You know, you have over 700,000 Rohingya children who fled to Bangladesh because their homes were burned down. Their communities were tortured and raped. But if you take the psychological need, you know, like, this consistent insecurity and uncertainty and fears for the future, they're a common source of anxiety and distress for children. And this can include, you know, fear of escalating hostilities or being separated from their parents, you know, or just the simple fact that they can't see an end to the conflict. What this does to the body, it triggers this prolonged activation of the body's natural stress response system. These natural stress responses are only intended to be temporary, but this prolonged experience and sustained over long periods, they can lead to a range of negative mental health outcomes, which a child will not easily overcome, especially if you've seen that support to address mental health and psychological issues in these conflict zones are grossly inadequate.
And so what if a kid does have access to mental health support, what sort of difference does that make to their lives?
Massive. I mean, it's impressive. It's kind of heartwarming to see how children, the resilience of children, and just by providing the simplest, it means that they're able to overcome a lot of stresses. So it's really important to first ensure that the child is removed from danger and they have access to basic skills. The way we program in these conflict zones is through what we call a layered approach. So as I said, the first important layer is ensuring that the child is safe, removed from danger, and have access to basic skills, and that includes water, health, shelter. And the second one is a really important one, and this is where we can address the majority of children who have mild to moderate mental health or psychosocial disorders. And this is where we activate the community social networks, and by that I mean schools and community safe spaces, which we call child or youth-friendly spaces. This is an absolutely critical element in our programming because we're able to mainstream programs where therapeutic programs where children, you know, can learn to express and process their feelings in a safe manner with adults who are also receiving support that can help children through their journey. And they take that over time. And this layer is also important for us to identify children who further need support. So we talk about the next two layers in which children who need further support are identified and can be referred to counselling to in health facilities. And these are the non-medical or non-specialised counselling. And then you get the top percent, which is the minority, but still this is where you've got children and families exhibiting those severe mental health disorders and they need specialised medical interventions with psychiatric nurses and doctors.
And so ultimately, what would you like to see? How would you like to see these support programs be designed and rolled out?
Well, what we're calling is that there needs to be a focus on mental health and psychosocial needs. This is often invisible and not prioritised in humanitarian responses. I mean, all of the humanitarian sectors, whether the health, protection or education, are underfunded, but more so the mental health. So what we would like to see is mental health being given an equal importance and ensure that it is adequately funded and mainstream to all humanitarian responses and programming.
Well, Nadine, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks so much for chatting to us.
Thank you.